From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
For the week of May 1st, 2006, it is the Disc Golf News. I'm Brian Sullivan. Good to have you with us. And we've got a great show for you this week. The Lizard Lawyer is back. Mark Ellis, a longtime contributor to the show, is here for the first time this season. And he's got a terrific piece for us on how to break out of a slump. Now, this may be a short-term slump, as in mid-round during a tournament, or a long-term slump, as in, holy cow, I've been playing for 3 years, and where did my game go slump?
If you've hit a plateau somewhere below the pro level, what you need probably is a change of form.
Mark Ellis will help you break out of that. We've got results from the Seneca Creek Soiree in Maryland. Professional disc golfer Chris Sprague will join us to walk you through the mechanics and disc selection to shave some strokes off your game with an Anheuser throw. If you're new to the game, you're still working on that one, Chris Sprague will help you there. And we've got a rundown of the early season pro money leaders as well, and we'll tell you more about the band providing the music for the show this week. It is all coming up on this edition of PDGA Radio News, brought to you by Innova Champion Discs. At InnovaDisc.com.
The Champion Sidewinder from Innova is the latest addition to the state-of-the-art Champion line. The Sidewinder is designed for long turnover shots and long-distance rollers. The extra-long glide will add D to your drives no matter how big your arm is. And the Sidewinder is made with Champion line plastic, so it holds up round after round. Your game just got better with the new Sidewinder from Innova. Number one in disc golf.
The East Coast disc golfers were out in force last weekend in Gaithersburg, Maryland, for the Seneca Creek Soiree. Results are coming your way, beginning with the Masters Division, and it is a former world champion, Jim No Spin Myers, takes them to school. He's going to win by 9 over Mark Boyce and Wayne Zink. They tie up for second place in the Masters. In the women's division, all the way from Ohio, it is Valerie Jenkins, and she is in a tough battle with Rachel Manser. But Jenkins is going to come out on top in this one, winning by 3 over Manser, who takes second place. Leslie DeMarc takes third for the women, just 4 strokes out. And in the open division, the guy hardly plays any tournaments anymore, and he can still whoop your butt. And he does just that. He's going to win by 9, finishes 9 under par. Mike Moser is your winner. Brian Schweberger and Pat Pitts tie up for second. That's how it went down at the soiree. It's time for the 60-second clinic, and we've got one for brand new players this week. And to help us out is professional disc golfer Chris Sprague, who's going to walk us through disc selection and the mechanics of an effective Anheuser throw.
To throw an Anheuser, well, you need to have the right disc, number one. You need to have something that has a little bit of overstable tendencies, but will turn to the right. You can't force an Anheuser over with an overstable disc and expect to get long-term results out of it. You have to have something that you trust that'll finish left to right on a slow turn. You don't want it to turn so much that it turns into a roller, but you want to be able to play it to the left a little bit high and get it to finish its flight for a long ways to the right before it eventually regains its composure and starts to hyzer out. Anything that's a little bit understable, but yet has originally was a pretty stable disc, is a great anhyzer disc. Because at the end of the flight, it'll have overstable tendencies as it slows down. In order to throw a good anhyzer, you have to finish on the same plane that you start on. If you're going to throw a good anhyzer, you have to follow through and commit to that shot in order to get the disc to really penetrate that line and to finish to the right. If you're not following through, it's going to want to finish left. It's not going to finish right unless you're really committed to the shot and you really follow through it.
Professional disc golfer Chris Sprague, formerly of Iowa, now lives in Oregon.
Hi, this is Juliana Corver, and you are listening to PDGA Radio News.
In the big picture, the Lizard Lawyer is back. Mark Ellis is a frequent contributor not only to this program, but to pretty much any other disc golf media outlet that asks him to participate. Because A, he knows a lot about the game, and B, he's pretty darn good at it, and he's also good at talking to people. Now, in the past, if you check the radio archives, you'll see that he's come on and talked about his Lizard games on the show in the past. These are games that he makes up that are not only fun to play, but also teach you something new about the game. This time, straight advice, and I want you to pay attention because it's really good advice if you have ever been or are currently in a slump. Mark Ellis is here to help.
All of us get into a slump at one time or another, and this discussion will be about ways to possibly break that. There are really two completely different types of slumps that people run into. Sometimes it's a short-term thing, that immediate problem where you're in the middle of a round and just start throwing poorly for no darn good reason. Other times it's a much longer-term difficulty where you're just not playing better, you're not improving, you're not getting any better whatsoever. Both of them are a form of slump, but let's talk about the first type, and that is the short-term slump. You happen to be in a round, in a tournament, and out of nowhere, you start shanking drives. Normally, it means that you're releasing too early or too late and for not any real good reason. Now, we are not dealing with here the situation where you're shooting poorly for a good reason. Sometimes you might be injured, or you might be very poorly prepared for the given course or the conditions. Maybe the course asks for shots you're not used to or shots you haven't practiced. Maybe there are big winds or there are terrible tee pads. Maybe there's rain or ice or cold. Maybe you've had no sleep or you're hungover. All of those sorts of things, you know exactly what the problem is, and that's not what I'm talking about. Because each of those things you can prepare for, but what I'm talking about is just for no reason your timing is very poor on your drives, you're not hitting tunnels, and you're shanking right and left. The first thing you have to understand is that the small problem that has befallen you can easily turn into a big problem. And the big problem that leads from that is some people very easily will lose their temper, they get real angry, or they will lose their confidence. It's critical to understand that sometimes a tiny little problem can quickly turn to real difficulties. And it's important to stop the mental damage that can happen before it gets going. You know by now that when you get angry, angry at yourself, angry at the course, angry at whatever, you are going to get no luck, you are going to get no love, you're going to get no good bounces, and you will hit every invisible branch in the world. Why it is true, who the heck knows, but when you get mad enough, nothing good's going to happen. We also know that loss of confidence is a huge danger. I mean, far better you get stung by bees and sprain your ankle and break your favorite putter than lose your confidence. Because once you lose your confidence, you can't do anything right. So understanding that little things can lead to big things, we want to stop the little problem as fast as possible. Now, how in the world do you do this? Here's what I recommend, and here's something that works for me. Before your next drive, concentrate not on making the greatest shot of your life. Concentrate not on throwing the perfect, hardest little line, throwing farther than you normally do, trying to overcome all your problems in one great shot. Don't throw an ace. Don't throw a hole in one. Instead, try just the opposite. Visualize you throwing with perfect form, with beautiful, clean, easy, well-balanced, rhythmic form. Rather than throwing at 100% of your normal strength, scale back a little bit. Throw 90%, throw 85%. So now you're not trying to throw the greatest shot of your life. You're just trying to throw really smooth, clean, simple, balanced, conservative. Hit the center of the fairway, hit the biggest spot that they give you, and as you are preparing for it, visualize you doing that shot. Visualize what your form is going to look like. Sometimes the way you do that is you think about a really good player that has beautiful form. Think about what they look like. Put your head on their body and imagine you throwing with that same beautiful form that you see from them. So rather than trying to do too much, instead try to do less. It is amazing how easy the game is when you try to do a little less. Don't throw as hard as you can. Throw it easier. Just be smooth, be simple, hit the center of the fairway, and you may find that suddenly it's pretty darn easy to hit the center of the fairway. And if you hit the center of the fairway, it's usually pretty darn easy to throw a par. Well, since you probably, from your shanks, have been on the bogey train, tell you what, some pars in a row is going to make you feel much better. You're going to regain confidence. You'll probably regain the timing and the touch that you were looking for. So don't hit a home run. A line drive single is a very fine result. So in summary then, visualize the form you're going to throw before you throw it. Throw with simplicity. Throw clean. Throw easy. Throw controlled. And think of yourself being photographed, throwing with absolutely beautiful form. Don't worry about where the frisbee's going to go. Normally, clean form goes a long way. And look at it this way. Even if your shot doesn't go good, at least you look good throwing it. So that is my discussion of the short-term problem when you're having a slump in the middle of the round. Let's now switch to the long-term difficulty. That is hitting the spot in your progression where you're not getting any better. You may be even getting worse. The average tournament player, the average one now, not the great tournament players, but the average one, goes through a 2 or 3 year cycle before they either drop out of tournaments altogether or scale back both their tournament play and their own expectations. See if this scenario reminds you of either yourself or someone you know. The first year of playing, you see lots of improvement. You're getting better. You're excited. You're pumped up. You're looking forward to playing the next tournament. By the second year, your progress has slowed. You find that next level you're getting to is really tough, and these people are, you know, are awfully good, and you're not sure you're really going to get much better. By the third year, that plateau looks like the wall of China. It looks like you may never overcome the darn thing. You're sort of stuck where you're at. Other people, they're just starting out getting better than you, but you're going pretty much nowhere. A plateau is a very common thing. In fact, progression is not a constant scale. Progression is a series of hitting plateaus and breaking over those. So that's a normal part of the process. The plateau you hit after a couple years is pretty much a function of several things. Most importantly, the natural athletic skill that you know you have from your genes and from your background. None of us control how, you know, great an athlete we potentially could be based on our genes. And in plateauing, most people never get to the pro level. Most players will stop somewhere between recreational, intermediate, advanced, somewhere in there. They hit the plateau, and that's pretty much the best they ever get. They never get any better. So what are the common solutions that people use once they hit that level? Oh, they buy new frisbees. They try to throw farther and go in the field and throw as hard as they can more often. They play more rounds. You know, they play tournaments that favor their game particularly, or they just, you know, scale back and give up entirely and go find some other sport. Those solutions, of course, don't tend to work. There is, however, a real solution. And the real solution is improving your form. There is something that I call the 90% rule. 90% of all players that play in the pro division of tournaments have good form. Almost all of them do. In 90% of those people that do not play in the pros, we're now talking casuals as well, 90% of non-pros do not have good form. Most people do not start out with a great trainer or great coach. You pick up a frisbee, you go in the field, you start throwing, you try to figure it out on your own. And often, people's form a couple years down the road really is not that much different when they started. In fact, it is very difficult to change form. It's very difficult because sometimes it's hard to get someone to coach you. Sometimes it's hard to find people with really good form to mimic. And, of course, none of us can see ourselves when we throw. There is absolutely nothing easy about changing your form. But we know that having superb form is so important to playing any sport well, including disc golf. With great form, the margin of error is so much bigger. Because with great form, even if you miss, you don't miss by much. With poor form, it's easy to miss the line you're looking to throw. In fact, it's difficult to throw with power. It's difficult to throw with any consistency at all. Why? Because you've got very poor form. So, if you've hit a plateau somewhere below the pro level, what you need probably is a change of form. the nature of changing your form is that it's difficult, it is slow, you will get worse before you'll get better, and it takes a long time to do it. You may well need a coach, you probably need to videotape yourself to see what you're doing, but eventually, once you solve the problem of form, everything else becomes incredibly easier. Now, if you're at a pro level and you've hit a huge plateau, well, the likelihood is you're probably a pretty good athlete and you probably already have pretty good form. So now it's really much, much tougher to increase levels. Why? Because you're already that good. It's always more difficult to hit the next higher level, and more difficult the better you are. With a pro hitting a plateau, you probably need things like mental toughness training and visualization, not just practice but coaching, and probably cross-training, is painful as that concept is to even think about and more painful to do. Good luck breaking your slump and hitting the next plateau. This is Mark Ellis.
Mark Ellis, a.k.a. the Lizard Lawyer, is a former three-term competition director on the PDGA Board of Directors. He's also a three-time Pro Masters champ in the state of Michigan. He's also the current Pro Masters champion. And he spoke to us from his home in Brighton, Michigan. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News. Hey, if you're looking for something to do this weekend, May 6th and 7th, look no further than La Mirada, California, where the National Tour is rolling into town for the Golden State Classic. Now, if you're a little intimidated by a National Tour, there's a bunch of other stuff in California alone. Grass Valley hosting the Motherlode for pros, and in Browns Valley, the Browns and Bows. So take your pick and enjoy. Kentucky, the Disc and Dap Bluegrass Open. Georgia, the Atlanta Open. Florida, the Coachman Classic for pros. Texas, the Live Oak Summer Open. And, oh my, the list goes on. North Carolina, the Mountain Disc Golf Experience. Lincoln, Nebraska, the Star City Shootout. Tower Ridge Open in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Menominee, Wisconsin, the Wakanda Park Open. Amarillo, the Disc Crazy Shootout. In Ontario, it's the Brampton Breezy Trees. And, I can't get through it all. Just check the list, PDGA.com. Finally, it is May, and we are well into the 2006 season, so we figured it was time to check the pro money leaders through the first quarter of the year. We'll begin with the Masters division, and there he is. Brad Hammack is your money leader for the Masters at just under $4,200 so far on the season. He is followed by Dean Tanak, Al Shaq, C.R. Willie, and Greg Hussfeld are the money leaders for the Masters. In the women's division, Burl is your leader, just under 2,100 on the season. Carrie Burlonger. She's followed by Des Redding at 1,800 and change. Juliana Korver, Angela Shigfrey, and Nadine Cosgrove, the additional money leaders for the women. And in the open division, Barry Schultz is having himself a year already. And just through the first quarter of the year, he is over $8,200 on the season. Kenny Climo behind him at 5,400 and change. Then Chris Sprague. Brad Hammack doing well in the open division as well. He adds another 4,200 to his totals for the season. And David Feldberg in fifth place so far on the money leaders board for the open division so far this year. The music that we've been enjoying this week is a band called The Vamps. We want to thank all the bands who have responded so far to our call for some music to spice up this show, specifically music by disc golfers. And The Vamps are out of Mississippi. Kevin Lewis is the alto sax player. He's also PDGA number 17616. And I'm really digging these guys. And, you know, if you got a band, we'd love to hear your music. But I'm telling you, I'm thinking these guys are going to do it for us for a while. And you can check out more of their music and download a lot of their stuff at thevamps.com. And that, my friends, is the Disc Golf News for the week of May 1st for the PDGA. I'm Brian Sullivan. Thanks to our sponsor this week, Innovate Champion Disc. And until next time, I hope you will get out there, huck some plastic, stay out of the shul, and keep them in the fairways.